Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Meeple Skills, the only podcast that starts their live stream 10 minutes after we promised.
We're not the only podcast to do that.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
In fact, the Nerdcast had to restart theirs like 8 times.
Ooh, and then they had to do it a week later.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't work. So.
So we're not even the only podcast on this network to have to do stuff like that.
That's true. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
I was just trying to give Alyssa a hard time.
It's fine.
I just like pointing out other people's failings.
That's a good thing to keep in mind as well. My name is Ethan, aka Nerd Meat, editor in chief over at project-nerd.com. I am here with my lovely co-hosts,
Jackie
and Alyssa. We're a little tired today. We'll be real.
That's the royal we, which fits perfectly into our theme today. Where did my notes go?
We're talking about kingdom builders.
Kingdom building games.
Yay.
Games in which you build a kingdom.
My favorite.
So.
Alyssa was so excited about this particular category.
Yeah. So as we've established on this podcast previously, Jackie likes her games with complicated rules. And managing a bajillion and a half different resources, regardless of how good she is at it.
It's true. I'm not very good at it.
So,
at least you're honest.
We have three games?
We do. We have three games today.
Okay. So the three games we have today are Carcassonne, Era of Kingdoms, and Castles of Burgundy. We're going to start with, honestly, what is probably a tabletop game classic. In a lot of respects, Carcassonne. Carcassonne is a game that popularized the term meeple as a term for the tiny human-shaped game pieces that this podcast is named after. Carcassonne is also a city in France.
Fact.
Yeah,
the
it's
more you
know. What?
So the more you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I had no idea.
It's a super easy to learn game, super easy to play, and it's super easy to teach. Published by Z-Man Games and can be played from 2 to 5 players. Players take turns flipping over tiles, adding them to the landscape in a way that makes sense. And then players place meeples on parts of the landscape to claim that square and gain points from it when that area is complete. And the person with the most points at the end of the game wins. So this is one that it's one of the first games we picked up.
It
once
is.
We kind of delved into this tabletop gaming hobby. So Jackie, what are your thoughts on Carcassonne?
You might be shocked to know this, but I like it.
Jackie likes a board game. Breaking news!
I know, right? It is definitely one of my favorites. I consider Carcassonne a staple of any real gaming collection. Sorry to those of you who don't own it yet. But it's mostly because it is very simple to teach. It's very simple to play.
It's also very simple to eat.
It is not simple to eat. I wouldn't recommend that. MeepleSkills does not recommend eating the pieces of Carcassonne.
Our lawyers are telling us I have to retract that statement. But I can say it is high in fiber.
You still can't... never mind. So it is a lot of fun. Very simple to play. Ethan and I have played it quite a bit. When I played it with Alyssa earlier this week, that was probably one of your first times playing it, I think.
I've never played this game. That was the first time I ever played this game. Oh, I just assumed it was like Catan, and I was just like, nah.
I'm going to hate it.
Oh, yeah. Dang. Well, it is not like Catan. It's very
fun.
Well,
it does start with a C.
It does.
Accurate.
Not even made by the same company. But it is really fun. I always really enjoyed it because you end up with really bizarre landscapes. And I've taken pictures of many of our Carcassonne games and just been like, can you look at this city? Who would live in this city? Getting from the east side to the west side of the city is like impossible.
It would take 4 hours by plane.
Yes, exactly. Like, I love that kind of stuff. I love how the landscape evolves. I do hate playing against people who are better spatially than I am, because then they end up doing crazy stuff and get like 9 million points at the end. And I was like, that really wasn't fair.
Never is. Well, and then, you know, it's easier, or I should say it's more strategically complex because you have to actually connect the tiles in ways that make sense. You can't just throw the tiles down willy-nilly. Be like, yep, that's my city. You have to, like, match walls to walls, roads to roads, things like that. And just adds that extra level.
Exactly. So how about you, Alyssa?
I thought it was fine. I like it. I can play it and chit-chat and it not affect much.
Yeah, it is very much a we can sit and talk and hang out and play this game.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I consider it a staple. Can teach it very easily. You can sit and have a conversation while playing it. So you can almost trick your family into playing this game with you because almost. They almost don't notice that they're playing.
Almost.
Until you nudge them and go, you do realize you haven't set a meeple down in like 30 minutes and the game's about to end and you have no points, right?
Almost. Okay, so scale of 1 to 10, Jackie.
I put this one at an 8. It is all those things I've already mentioned. I guess I deduct it a couple of points just because of its simplicity. And due to its simplicity, it's not one that I crave to play all the time. But definite solid staple. Definitely glad I have it as a part of my collection. And I definitely encourage other people to purchase it as well.
Alyssa, 1 out of 10?
8. Also, like me, it is simple, and I appreciate it.
Oh. All right, well.
Yeah. I appreciate this game.
We're going to go chill. Full self-deprecating today, everybody.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
One of those days. Gotcha. Gotcha.
But easy to play, easy to teach. The pieces are also solid enough I wouldn't feel uncomfortable breaking it out during a party and it getting destroyed.
Yeah, that's a good point.
By a dog or people.
Right.
Or kids. Kids could play it too.
It is really nice for families because since there aren't any words that you have to like read all the time mm-hmm. and the math really isn't that complicated, you could totally play this with young kids. I think on the box it says 7 and over, but I bet you could play this with a smart 6-year-old. A really intelligent 5-year-old, maybe.
One that's not prone to putting things in their mouth.
Exactly.
Yep.
Has a good attention span.
Some people never grow out of that.
That's fair.
Also that. Hence the guy who was like, it's full of fiber.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Who would say something like that?
Weirdos.
That's fair. Okay. So, I mean, I've played this one quite a bit. I'd probably put it a 7. It's fine. It's good. Solid. Simple. I don't... Well, I don't know. It's got a fine amount of sort of variance to it, since everyone is just drawing from the same pile of tiles. The tiles are varied enough that it doesn't actually inhibit or slow down the game a whole lot. You're more than likely going to be able to make a play that's going to further your goals. You'll get a couple situations where you draw a tile and it won't be exactly what you want, but that leads me to say on the saltiness scale I'd put it at about a 4.
You put it as, yeah, that makes sense. What about you, Alyssa? Where would you put it on the saltiness scale?
Like a 2, because honestly, if 2. if I get a piece that I can't use, I'm just gonna use it on the other person. I don't know if that makes me mean, but like I'm like, well, this road's not going to work for me. Here you go. Not my problem now.
Yeah, well,
completing that one.
It depends, though, because if you're not careful with that, then you could help them.
That is fair. I feel like our game shouldn't count given, are they called the little steeples?
Oh, the abbeys?
The abbeys. I think I pulled every single
one.
She
did. They were all at the bottom, and she ended up with every
so
abbey.
I feel like our game shouldn't count. Because at the end, I just was, like, piling them around each other to complete them.
Yeah,
so that
that's
was,
fair.
Like, really just not a fair game.
That's funny.
That was not, I felt bad when I pulled the second one. I was like, okay.
That's funny.
You did make the comment while we were playing that you wanted to be able to, like, discard tiles or, yes. like, trade them out.
Yeah, because there were sometimes, like, with the roads, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? Or, like you get those weird kingdoms where you're just like, well, this is just never going to be done.
Yeah.
He's just going to have no extra wall, and we're just going to chill. I don't know what the citizens are going to do, but, you know, whatever.
That's how the Mongolians got in. Yeah. Okay, Jackie, Salt.
Yeah, this one's easily a 2 or a 3 for me. I'd probably put it at a 2, because every tile you pull is playable, even if you don't like where your options are to play it. So you can always play. I like how the scoring works. For me, it's really, really hard to get salty at this game. I feel like you have to be, like, super competitive level of Dragon Ball Z to really get salty over this game.
Competitive levels of Dragon Ball Z. You're going to have to explain that one to me.
Well, because you know how in Dragon Ball Z, like, basically the whole show is, I was only using half my power. So to me, it's like, no. Okay.
I don't.
That's all I ever noticed from the show.
Okay, well, then you watched.
I was only using half my power last time, so I'm going to use all my power this time.
That means you watched precisely 3 episodes, and 1.5 of them had that happen.
But then they come back later, and they're like, haha, now I'm going to use 90% of my power. And so it's like, I feel like you have to be at that level of competitiveness to be like, I'm going to use at least 1/2 of my brain to lay this tile. But if I start to lose, then it's like, I'll have to use 3/4 of my brain to lay the next tile.
You can use up to half your brain?
I don't... I think so.
Oh. Well, I can't.
Oh, okay.
Way to rub it in.
I'm sorry, honey.
Anywho. Any final thoughts on Carcassonne?
It's neat. Buy it. It's not very expensive either, I don't think. No. And then there's like a heck ton of expansions. I've never played any of those expansions. So
I believe it's a metric hecton.
A metric hecton?
A metric hecton.
Sure enough. Mm. But I would imagine some of them would probably make things probably more interesting. Or at the very least, the game will just go longer.
Yeah.
Because it was really not that hard or very long game either.
We'll change it up a little bit too. Just make it slightly, ever so slightly different.
Oh, yeah. Sure enough. There's many expansions in it, too. One of the many expansions we didn't play with is the river, which just adds another level of complexity. One of the things I also didn't have Alyssa play with is you can, rather than just claiming roads and cities, you can also lay the meeples down and claim the green area as like a farm area. Those are just really hard to complete, so I don't usually teach that part to newbies. But in the second game, I'll show it to people, but I've never had any luck actually completing those.
I was going to say, that's an optional rule, isn't it?
It is. It's an optional one. And the only reason I even mention it is because I once played against Michael with that rule. And he ended up actually concealing the whole board in. So at the end of the game, he ended up with like 30-some points. So it is something you can do.
That's disgusting.
I love it. I'm here for it.
Disgusting.
I love it.
All right. So this next game I am extremely excited to present as it was designed by a Kansas City local. We first tested this game at Planet Comic Con 2017, I think.
Yeah. That was a couple years ago.
That was the first time that we encountered this game. We did another playtest of it last year. It was on Kickstarter for a while. That game is Era of Kingdoms. It's a new game created by Michael...
Irishman?
Irishman? Okay. Couldn't tell if it was like Irishman or something. Anywho. So we recently got it from Kickstarter that finished up a while ago, but production took a little bit, so we finally got it. It has a very Seven Wonders feel to it, which I believe we've talked about on the podcast before, but honestly, if you're listening to a tabletop game podcast, you've probably played Seven Wonders. Players get 3 actions on their turn to draw a card or play a card to their player board.
Okay.
What?
I haven't played Seven Wonders.
She hasn't played Seven Wonders.
Yeah, but she also doesn't listen to our podcast.
You're right. That's accurate, but you're right.
I say, I've only ever played Seven Wonders one time.
I'm supposed to say, oh, whoops. Was that homework I was supposed to play?
Whoopsies. Well, I now know what our next podcast is. The next episode is games Alyssa should have played.
Well, games that if you're listening to a tabletop board game podcast, you should have already played.
Catan, unfortunately, will have to be on that
list. I already played canceled. Catan. Canceled.
Don't make me play that again.
Canceled.
Okay, well, maybe we could just talk about how horrible Catan is.
That's fine. Okay.
All right, canceled. okay, so, anywho, players get three actions on their turn to draw a card or play a card to their player board. When they check to see if they have enough level 2 buildings or characters to level up their kingdom, which allows them to access a new set of resources. Finally, players discard any cards they don't want and draw up to their maximum hand size. Cards you're drafting are, let me try that one. The cards you are drafting from are basic, intermediate, or advanced. And as your kingdom levels up, you get access to the intermediate and then advanced cards. The intermediate cards give you access to the cards required to get level 3. I'm confused here. When you level up, either add the town hall to the center of your player board or flip the card to make it into a castle to denote you've made it to level 3. That makes sense. The game ends when the Age of Enlightenment card is pulled. Everyone counts the victory points that are visible on their board, and the person with the most victory points wins. So again, I actually have not played this final version of the game yet, but I do remember that playing the playtest version that we did play last year very reminded me a lot of the Civilization games, which, you know, I've played on the computer for many, many, many years, but, you know, building up these buildings, upgrading buildings, and trying to collect resources in order to make your kingdom or whatever the best it can be. And I really like that style of game, so I enjoyed that as well. Jackie, what are your thoughts on Era of Kingdoms?
I love this one so much.
So much?
So much. After we playtested it, I was dying to get it. And
You died?
I did. I died and I came back to life just so I could play Era of Kingdoms.
Wow. How much are they paying us for this again?
They aren't, but this actually turned out to be incredibly appropriate that we are launching or talking about it today because they literally just opened up regular orders for Era of Kingdoms today.
What?
Yeah.
You hear that, Internet?
What?
I said, do you hear that, Internet?
Yep. The Internet is a blast. It's full of emotion over how exciting it is. It's a buzz.
There you go. Like,
you're a blasting it.
You're a blasting it about how excited they are over Era of Kingdoms is now available for purchase. It hasn't been mass distributed yet. It was part of the Kickstarter is that different gaming companies or gaming stores could buy it. And so some gaming stores, there's actually quite a few around Kansas City that actually have copies of this game.
I can't imagine why.
I know, right? But this is the first time you can order it directly from them. And I think you actually still order through the Kickstarter, but it is available.
Do you know what retail is?
I think it's like $25, I want to say.
What?
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah. Dang, what the heck? I thought that game was going to be way more expensive. That's dope.
It's between 25 and 30. I know.
That's still not bad.
Yeah.
Especially for as nice as the game looks. That's wild to me.
The art in this is just fantastic.
Yeah, ooh-wowee. The aesthetics.
Artist was local too, wasn't he?
He was. Mm-hmm. Or she. For some reason, I'm feeling she.
I'm pretty sure we met the artist.
Okay.
And it was a dude.
Gotcha.
I just can't remember his name off the top of my head.
I was not there, so no. I don't know.
You were not.
You're not.
But you're not included in this conversation.
That's fine.
I'm just kidding.
It's fine. I just leave. It's fine.
No. We waited like 10 minutes.
You're the only comes in late, leaves early.
Just Insane in chat says he would have said that game was probably $50.
Yeah, no, it looks... the game's no joke because the... I know that part of what you have is an expansion that there's a board, there's like a board in the middle that you can play the cards on. That actually looks like from a game that would be $50, $60. And then the art card, the cards on the art, you know what I mean? The art on the cards themselves. There we go.
The art of the cards.
Yeah, the art of the cards. thank you for that, Jackie. That was good.
I quit.
The art on the cards is really, really nice and well done. Like even characters that have the same titles are still different, even though that's something they didn't need to do. Mm-hmm. They could have just repeated the same art and saved time
and money
and labor and money, which I appreciate that they went ahead and made everything different, especially that since this is a small, he's not even associated with a board game company, right?
Not any of them.
No, that's super cool.
Yeah.
That's super cool for an independent company.
Yeah, definitely. Any other thoughts on the game before we move to our scales?
I will say, not only do I absolutely adore it, as already mentioned, but I did not realize until I was trying to play it that that middle board that Alyssa's talking about, they call it the trade route, that's actually considered a mini expansion. And the second time I played it with the mini expansion before the Kickstarter had come out. And honestly, I love that trade route so much. So much, I'd be willing to argue that that is the only proper way to play this game. You can play it just by drawing the cards off the top of the decks, and then it takes up way less space, which is nice. Mm-hmm. But to me, that trade route just makes it so much nicer. It gives you drafting options, and that's where you can really kind of plot your kingdom a little bit more. So I really love that. There is actually two other modes of play in this game that I haven't even explored yet. There is a mode where it's more battle heavy, and you actually kind of try to like kill each other's kingdom. In the main game, you can hurt each other using force, but it's not really that big of an element of it. And then there's a couple different ones. I don't know what the other one was, but I do remember reading about the battle mode and was like, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
I like it. With if you don't have that trade route, are you... Because I know there's cards in there that specifically affect, like the training post does, and then the trading expositions. Do you pull those if you don't play with the trading route? Because technically you can't use those cards because they're completely designed around the trading route.
That would make sense. I would imagine that you would.
I would say, because we didn't play without it, so that I'm not sure about. So I would make sure to read the cards before you start if you're going to not do the mini expansion.
Just get the mini expansion. It's way better.
Yeah, just get the mini expansion, please. It's much nicer.
Right now, everything that's for sale is the full Kickstarter package.
Oh dope. So, yeah. I like it.
Neat. Okay, so I feel like I know what Jackie's going to say. So, Alyssa, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate this game?
I actually really, really like this game. I'll put it like in a 9, maybe a 10.
Damn.
As somebody who... I hate the genre of games. I'm so bad at them. I'm even when I don't actually pay attention, I'm still bad at them. I'm just bad at these games. I really, really liked this. I really enjoy the fact that it's an independent person who's handling this. This isn't a large board game company. The art's fantastic. And of course, it's nice that it's local. So that's always a plus. Mm-hmm. And then just the mechanics are really nice. I feel like some like kingdom builders are overly complicated, like just to a degree that they just don't need to be. And I think this is like the perfect amount of mechanics and like stuff you can use to mess around with each other's stuff without being either unbalanced or just obnoxious.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I like this game. It's pretty dope.
I'm so glad you liked it.
I'm probably gonna buy it, honestly. I really enjoyed it, and I can actually play it with Rory, so.
Oh yeah. Player 3 would like that.
Yeah, he would. Player 3 would enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Player 3 would enjoy it.
Okay, so it's been a while since I've played it, so I'm going to abstain from giving it a rating, though I imagine if once I play it again, I'll probably rate it decently high. Saltiness, does this game make either of you salty?
I would actually say it's probably about a 5 on the saltiness scale. It personally doesn't make me all that salty, but there are a lot of conditions that have to be met in order to move to the next level, and there's just various conditions that have to be met in order to play certain cards. So I think that could result in some saltiness. And honestly, Alyssa and I were feeling a little salty in our game because we couldn't get forests. You have to have a base forest before you can play the second level of forest. And so first we weren't getting base forests, and then we both finally got a base forest, and then we couldn't get level 2 of a forest.
Nope.
Like, those forest cards were just not showing up for us, and it's ridiculous because it's like we went through the deck twice before we finally started getting them at a time when we could actually take them.
It sounds like you're terrible at shuffling.
That could also be a possibility.
Yeah.
I went through a lot of cards. I discarded a lot of cards. Yeah. I'm just like, nope, I don't need any of this. Just give me green boys. I want some green boys. Let's go.
Yep. Yeah. We both had trading posts, so we were just like, 3 gone, 3 new ones, still useless.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's just to be expected in those sorts of card games. So.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's exciting. General Pillage in chat says the saltiness was high yesterday.
Were you also salty over something?
It might be because Jackie didn't explain the rules properly.
Oh, got yeah. Got
him. Did you text and complain to him about
General Pillage, issue? Honey.
Oh, General Pillage, that other one. Oh,
yeah.
No, that I was like, that's one. Not. No, that's, I didn't sorry. Actually. No, you're good.
That's the guy upstairs.
That's the guy upstairs. I was like, that's why I'm putting upstairs.
That's not God. It's our roommate. It's not God. It's our roommate.
I mean,
God's in chat.
Yeah, God's in chat. You hear that, buddy?
Yeah, the saltiness was super high yesterday.
Only, but despite the lack of rule explaining, I still won.
You did.
Yeah, that's good.
I was impressive. Poorly. I was impressive.
Yeah, I always accuse Jackie of cheating, but she's pretty terrible at it because even when she does it wrong, she still loses.
It was pretty good. At least it was unintentional.
General Pillage also says, oh, hey.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. Got confused with a different name.
Yeah, wow. Awkward. Awkward.
Yep.
Okay, so final thoughts on Heir of Kingdoms.
Heckin' buy it.
Heckin' do it.
Yeah, just heckin' buy it.
Buy that game.
I would get...
Do it!
I would get some card sleeves for the cards.
Yeah, that too. For sure.
We almost... There was a party foul. I spilled water. There was concerns. The cards look very nice. And while good quality, I would still go ahead and get them some card sleeves just in case, especially if you're going to play it. Like out with friends or anything like that, just in case.
Yeah.
Also, if anybody has an industrial laminator, I would really like to laminate the trade route board. I caught it on something the very first time I used it, and it caused a tiny tear, and now I'm terrified.
Yeah, you should be. Justin Sane in chat asks, God's a gamer. Who knew?
Of course, God's a gamer.
Right.
He plays the game of life.
To which Mad.
Yikes.
To which MadGod210 responded, "Who knew?" Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you for hanging out with us today while we talk about our nerdy hobby.
Yeah, wowee.
Okay, so the third and final game that we are reviewing is Castles of Burgundy. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, this game's a little bit older, isn't it?
A little bit. I thought it was older than it was, but it's only 2011.
Yeah, it looks older than it is.
Yeah, I'm sure that's an intentional thing.
It's an aesthetic.
Yeah, but it is aesthetic. A worker placement, Jackie's favorite genre. It's for 2 to 4 players, published by Ravensburger Games. Not as delicious as you'd think. The game includes a central board, individual player boards, meeples, hexagonal tiles, squared tiles, and dice. Tiles are placed in their respective areas, colored dice distributed to the players, and the meeples are placed on the victory points and player order tracks, and then you're ready to play. Round starts with everyone rolling their dice and the first player rolling an additional white die. The white die shows where the square tile should go in the market track on the game. Jackie's only genre, that's correct. The numbers on the dice decide which areas of the market the player can choose from. If the player doesn't like their option, they can give up a die for worker tiles. The worker tiles then allow you to change a roll up or down by one value. Now, interestingly enough, that does mean that you can change a 6 to a 1 and a 1 to a 6. Because the actual number doesn't really make much of a difference. It's just representative of a spot on the board, no spots really offer any strategic advantage, so it kind of works out.
Depending on what's in that spot.
Well, right, but there's no, like, 6 isn't always better than anything else.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
I get you.
When tiles are taken, they are placed in a holding area on your player board, and then it takes another action to place the tile on your landscape. Tiles must be placed in a numbered space that matched the die used, that's one of your actions, and be in the corresponding color to the tile. Tiles do a lot of different things, and some have special actions you can do when they're placed. Others have special things you can always do. Then you have, like, your mines, which get you silver, I think, right? Silver?
Yes.
Yeah, silver yep. Every turn. And you will probably need to refer... to the rule book regularly, as there are too many to effectively discuss in this podcast. Finally, It is important to note that players get bonuses for being the first to complete a colored section of their board. There's a 5 phases in a round and 5 rounds in a game. Player with the most victory points after final scoring wins. Game takes about an hour and a half to play, but the setup is extensive and adds about 30 minutes. General Pillage in chat says, yes, Alyssa wanted the Silver Boys the whole game. Yet it was Nerd Meat who ended up with the most Silvery Boys and all the mines. It was great.
It was disgusting.
It was beautiful.
Oh, I liked all the chickens. They were fantastic. Oh,
I had so many fucking chickens.
It was so good.
Ethan did collect all the chickens.
It was great, and I got like a million points, because the way the chickens worked is if you had a bunch of chickens, and then you had chickens on other tiles, you got more stuff for those chickens. So, again, Jackie explained the rules incorrectly, and then Michael also interpreted the rules incorrectly, which led Michael to cheating to win. However, I would have won had we played by the actual rules, because I was playing by the rules.
Unintentionally.
General Pillage also says placement. Every chicken, the hound level of chicken. Game of Thrones reference.
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
I hate you all.
That's fine. I don't quite understand why there's a hound level of chicken.
Because the hound is a guy who eats a lot of chicken.
Gotcha.
But yes, so I would have won, so it's a great game. I also want to note that the entire time we were playing, while everyone else was going on their turns, I was playing Super Smash Bros. On a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, it was very annoying that the guy who was playing the least attention technically won.
Yes.
By non-cheating rules. Yes. Cheating rules, Michael won.
Right.
I should have not paid attention, because then I wouldn't have noticed you copying my strat when we started the game.
Lol.
It's fine.
Oh my god, you almost smacked her upside the head when you found that out.
No, I didn't. I wasn't going to actually hit anybody.
You know, I thought I was going to have to hold you back.
She was so displeased.
There might have been strong words.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
There was certainly strong words.
The first time I did it because it looked like a good idea, and then she got so mad, I thought it would be fun to do it again.
And then you lost.
we both lost, so that's what counts.
You have to keep in mind, though, that Jackie was in 4th place out of 4.
It only plays up to 4 players.
I know.
Yeah.
Wrecked.
Anywho.
But I love this type of game.
Right. So, Jackie, what are your thoughts?
I like it.
Okay. Save that for the scale. What are your thoughts about the game?
Okay. Yeah. Very good game. Very, I almost call it a basic worker placement type of game. Because you have a set of rules, everything changes out the same way. Once you get
Is it a worker placement?
It's either worker placement or...
The only workers are just the little chips you get that add value or subtract value.
Well, it's still kind of worker placement because it's still very economy driven.
But you don't place them.
You use the die to figure out which kind of resources you're going to get. So I guess you could call it a resource... collection? That's not really a thing. Resource management. That's what they like to call it.
That's, I think personally, that's the genre it would probably fit more closely into.
Okay, so resource management. You roll your dice, you get the stuff you need. I'd say that once you get a feel for it, like, the rules make sense. So it's actually not that hard to learn. And it's really not that complicated as far as resource management or worker placement games go. It's just a little bit longer, and one of the things that's kind of bittersweet about it is that it has so many different tiles, and each tile does something a little bit different other than the main tiles.
Yeah.
And so there's just a lot you have to process. You really have to rely on your game book. And so that's kind of a downer. But the reverse of that is that it makes it so that it has a lot of replayability, mm-hmm. because all those tiles are different and you never know in what order they would be coming out or when you'd have access to them. So you can't actually build your strategy around the tiles.
Right.
Justin Sane in chat says, so the saltiness scale was off the chart. Yes, it was. Yeah. And to which General Pillage also responded that it truly was just the most salt.
There was so much salt.
Okay, anyway, sorry. Continue.
I'm going to let Alyssa talk about her thoughts.
I feel like this game is more complicated than it needs to be. There's one mechanic I enjoy and don't like at the same time. There are yellow tiles that affect the game differently, and each tile does something completely different, and there is only one of each. I don't like that there's only one of each. I would have preferred if there had been less of those mechanics and more of those tiles, because some of those tiles actually did make a very big difference. Like, I had one that let me add or subtract just one for free to any of my rolls. And that's kind of a big deal when I can take a one, I can take a six to a one, which I do enjoy that mechanic, or taking a one to a six without buying workers. And workers do take, was that an action?
Yep. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that takes part of your turn to just buy workers, and you're essentially getting a worker for free. At least when it comes to buying. For placement, that's a completely different story, but for buying, that's kind of a big deal when you're like, ooh, I rolled a six, but nobody's rolled ones, and I need that piece right there. So that was like the one thing I didn't like. It feels more complicated than it needs to be. I see the appeal of this game for people who enjoy this genre.
Not for you.
No, it's just there's too much to keep track of between the yellow tiles and then the gray tiles that all do something different too. And while there's multiples of those, you can't place them in the same areas next to each other, which makes sense because that was busted. I exploited that a lot, unintentionally cheating. And I wish there was fewer of the mechanics that are completely different from each other.
Fair.
Yeah.
Which, that makes a lot of sense, because one of the things that, when we were first playing, I was like, oh, this game could really benefit from a cheat card, you know, that's like, these are the actions you can take on your turn, this is the turn order type of thing. But then, like, as we got more into it, it's like, you almost can't do a cheat card. Like, you could do here's the phases of your turn thing, but...
That's about it.
That, yeah, because after that, it's like, there's just so many intricacies.
Right? Yeah, and that, my big issue with the game overall. Now, I like resource management. I like, you know, kind of the building type games. This particular one failed in a few things. Firstly, the tiles that you pick up to put into your little area all look the friggin' same. They're different colored on the thing, so that's how you know where to put them on the board. And, okay, so General Pillage is kind of getting to my point here. He said it had a cheat board, but you still had to know what every symbol meant, which doesn't make much sense. And that's kind of what I'm getting at here. So, like, all of the buildings... Okay, let me start over here. The rule that we didn't do correctly was that you couldn't have two of the same exact type of building at all in your area. They had to all be different.
In the different sections.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't even realize there were sections on the board. Anyway, the point being that, first of all of the buildings that are drawn on these tiny little tiles look almost identical. Or very similar, so it's very easy to think, oh, this is a bank, and this is something else, or whatever, and just get them confused, when in fact they might be exactly the same, unless, you know, you're picking them up, looking at it carefully, saying, yes, this is this thing. When you're looking at a board in the middle of four players, you can't always see that intricately, so you either have to, like, get up, pick it up, look at it, nope, that's not what I need. And then you have to refer to your rule book to make sure, okay, is this one the bank, or the other building? So I think that is too much of that. Secondly, that, and related to that, there are too many different types of buildings.
Yeah.
I think that a game like this needs to have less categories in order for it to be easy enough to grasp for dumb people like me. Or just bigger tiles so I can see what the frickin' picture is. And a label. Mm-hmm. Put the word on the bottom that says bank, stable, whatever. You know, so there's no question about what it is. So those were my biggest issues with the game. Overall, though, you know, mechanically, I think it was fine. Dice rolls and the workers and how those interacted, I liked. Because it let you put a little bit of fate into your own hands. So, you know, if I was trying to get a specific tile, I could roll the die. Okay, I rolled, you know, two of these different numbers. Don't need that one. Throw that one away. Grab two workers. Change the other one. Mm-hmm. General Pillage with a good question in chat. Do you think they were trying to go for extended replayability by putting in so many different tiles? rather than settling on one or two strategies.
I mean, I could kind of see that with the yellow tiles doing a bunch. Mm-hmm. I'm also wondering, thinking about it now, there's a section just for the yellow tiles. I'm wondering if there are enough yellow tiles for every person to actually complete that section now.
That's a good point.
Because there weren't very many. Because I remember buying up a bunch of them because I wanted to complete that section because no one else had. And I remember it becoming very difficult once we were getting further towards the end of the game because there weren't very many. Mm-hmm. I didn't know other people had bought them, but not. I was like, I want to say I was like halfway through that section. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I never actually bought one of the yellow tiles.
Right.
And to be honest on that, I have a used copy of Castles of Burgundy, so that could simply be I might be missing some.
That's fair. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense.
Inventory on that. But to address General Pillage's question, I mean, I think that's probably what their goal was, mm-hmm. to make it so plays would end up differently, so there's not just one or two like really good strategies. But at the same time, you know, when you're making that decision, you need to make other concessions and design your game slightly differently if you're concerned about that being the end game. Or, you know, again, even as simple as labeling the tiles is all we needed to happen.
Could have even done another game mode.
Right.
Or figured out another mode of play. Especially with, like, the ships and stuff. You could have maybe done something with that that's, like,
ooh, I completed the ships, too. I did that. That was why I won.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, Jackie. Do you have more thoughts?
I was just going to say, I agree with both of you. I do think it was done as an attempt at replayability. And personally, I think it does offer a lot of replayability because, as I mentioned earlier, you can't build a strategy around which yellow tiles you're going to get because there's only one of each of them. So,
right.
Sure.
You'd have to be the lucky. You'd have to have the right rolls at the right time to be able to get that.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, strategically, yeah, I think that's spot on. But again, I think they needed to change design and other aspects of the game in order to successfully do that and make an awesome game. Like it scale, Jackie, where do you put it?
I actually put this one at a 7. Like you've mentioned, this is definitely my type of game. It took me a little bit to get into it because of all the intricacies. And I will admit, in a lot of games, little intricacies like that will throw me. They tend to be the games that I end up loving in the end, but getting into it is, you know, very slow for me. I definitely have a practice game before I start to feel like I actually know what I'm doing. So it's a 7 because it is a little bit more difficult to get into. There is a pretty steep learning curve on this one.
Yeah.
However, once I got into it, once we kind of figured it out, it felt like it flowed very nicely. The game is very quick. There's not a lot of downtime between turns, or at least I didn't feel like there was. There's plenty to keep you engaged, unless you're Ethan, and then you're just going to play the Switch instead of actually paying attention to the game. Anyway.
Yeah, still won, though.
Yeah. But I definitely am glad that I added this one to our collection, and I definitely see us playing it more.
Potentially, if we figure out if we have all the parts and we play it correctly. Alyssa, 1 to 10.
We're going with a 3.
3?
Whoa!
I think that might be the lowest rating ever on Meeple Skills.
Aside from I hate Catan.
Well, that doesn't count. Right. Catan's not real.
I don't like this game, aside from the genre. I mean, obviously, I gave it a 3. I don't like it. I feel like it's just doing way too much for not a lot of reasons. Like, the tile laying, I'm cool with. Having all the different tiles, I'm cool with. Adding that on top of the dice rolls for simply placing and buying on top of that. And then the way the money works, like, that's a crap. One, that's a crap ton to keep track of. And I don't micromanage well. We do one task, maybe two tasks at a time, max. That's where we're at. So, like, the micromanaging, I don't handle well. And then the also randomness of being even able to place your tiles. Because I know there were a couple times where I literally couldn't. There's times where you can't do anything. You can't buy anything because you're last. Because you don't have enough fucking ships. And you can't place anything. Mm-hmm. So you're like, okay, well, I can't buy anything. Even if I go up and down, there's literally nothing to buy. I guess I'm just going to buy some fucking workers this turn, and we're just going to live our life.
I did forget the silver does add another level of complexity. I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah, that does add another.
Well, and so I was actually just thinking about that because I also hoarded silver for most of the game, and I don't remember what it's even used for.
Is it victory points?
It's victory points, and there's a spot in the middle where you can buy things from. And you have to have silver to buy those. And
then you sell them for victory points, right?
Well, no, they just add 2 victory points because they go into your, they go onto your board just like the rest of the stuff. It's honestly kind of a workaround. Oh,
yeah.
It's a workaround for if you can't get your dice rolls into the areas you need, you could buy these pieces.
And then I hoarded all the silver, which is why Alyssa couldn't do that.
No, I mean, I still had a decent amount of money, actually. I was probably second in money. I had a good amount of money. It was more the problem of, like, the dice rolls and then just getting the crap I needed out of the little sections. Because I'd roll the same thing, like, 2 or 3 times in a row. And I'm like, my RNG is not that good. My RNG is garbage.
Yeah. So that's what I was thinking of, just that, you know, adding, you have silver as a currency, you have your dice rolls. You have the random way in which, well, it's not completely random, but the way in which turn order is decided. Which, granted, I thought that's a cool mechanic.
Right.
I don't think it needs to be in this game.
I would have been okay with just doing the handing off of whoever goes first just around the table. I think that would have been fine because I do like the ship mechanic, but I think on top of everything else, it feels too much. It's just like, let's add this cool little mechanic in. And I'm like, if this had just been like a ship game, that would have been cool. Or if like the ships played a bigger part than just being one line in the middle of the map, that would have been cool.
And there's different maps also. Right. We just played with the beginner map. But also, I just realized they probably did that as the way to decide who's first player because there's 5 rounds and it's a maximum of 4 people. So one person would have gotten to go first at least twice if it was just the pass
mechanic. So then you make it a different number of rounds.
But that messes with the math. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's what we're saying, though, is they added levels of complexity, which made the game less good.
Right, and that's frustrating because you're like, you see, it's like when you find a game with a cool mechanic, and then that one mechanic is very good, and then the rest of the game, you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
And that's how I feel, and it's frustrating.
Right, and you can make the game simpler and easier to grasp and quicker and then make it 8 rounds.
And I actually would have been okay with that because I feel like we would have been actually able to fill the boards out easier because then at least we would have had more time to actually cycle through the tiles. Because I felt like there were periods of time where there were just certain colors of tiles that just weren't on the board for like a full round. They just weren't there.
Yeah, because they'd been picked off. I was like, that's not possible because you have to put them in certain spots. And I was like, oh, because they were picked out first because like the mines went quick.
The mines always went quick and then the castles did. And if you're not first and if you can't get a ship, you can't get first. So then it becomes the catch-up. There isn't a catch-up mechanic for that. So if somebody doesn't get like to get bumped up, if for whatever reason they don't have a ship or they have the least number of ships, you're just kind of like, well, I'm last place. Someday I'll roll something that lets me have a ship, and then hopefully nobody fucking buys the ship before I can get it.
Yeah.
Because they also went quick, too, because of the going first mechanic.
All right. Saltiness scale. Well, first of all, I give my rating.
Yeah.
Okay. 4.
Nice.
All of the same reasons Alyssa just said. And reminder, that is out of 10. So moving
my
on to the
score is the correct one.
Sure. So saltiness scale, I will pass because I won.
Fair.
Alyssa, where would you put it on the saltiness scale?
Aside from yelling at Jackie for copying my strats, the amount of randomness in this game, and there's something about dice rolling determining what I can do that just makes me mad. I'm pretty sure that's why I hate Catan.
Really glad I didn't put Machi Koro in this episode.
I've heard that game's really good, too.
Anyway, it's a dice rolling again.
Anyways, that we'll play that another time. I don't know. I would say probably a 6 or a 7 just because dice, there's something more frustrating about dice versus cards. They're both completely random, but there's just something incredibly frustrating about your dice fucking you over versus the deck.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, how it's like dice,
even though you technically have like a 20% chance of getting any side of a six-sided die, like there's nothing stopping that die from landing on the exact same side over and over and over again. Right. Whereas with a deck of cards, like eventually you're gonna run out of cards. There's only so many of those types of things in that deck.
Right. I don't know. That's dice rolling in board games makes me mad. I don't know why. That doesn't have to do with movement. Makes me mad. So on that, just the dice rolling aspect, that I didn't think there was anything else in the game besides maybe the turn order that seemed a little bit unbalanced. The yellow tiles can be busted if you pick the right combination of yellow tiles. It can make things kind of dumb, but it still feels fair, because I guess in that it being dumb, there's still only one. So once somebody has that tile has been either discarded because nobody wanted it, or somebody's bought it, you know that you're not going to see that tile again on everybody else.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, and that means you can't stack those either. So you right. can't get like five that like give you a bajillion bonus points
right.
for like a one thing being on your board. You can only get one.
Right.
And then, yeah, so I agree. Jackie, saltiness?
Yeah, it's definitely high on the saltiness scale. I think I'll put it at a 6. It definitely can garner quite a bit of saltiness. The dice rolling mechanic, the how you get first player mechanic, as you guys have mentioned. Also, getting the silver is rather difficult mm-hmm. because it's all based on your minds, and you only get that silver collected once per round.
Aren't there the goods too? You could sell the goods, but the goods were kind of random because it was at the start of the turn, we would just put it in a depot, and it was random for color and
yep.
And it was only one good. If yep. I remember right, because there just wasn't a lot of that.
Yeah, the goods really didn't do much. At least in the game we played, they didn't really seem to play much of a part.
Well, they were most of my victory points.
They were, actually. He sold a lot of them.
This yeah. would explain a lot why I was at the bottom. But anyway, so yeah. there's, you know, it definitely has a lot of opportunity for that saltiness to build up. Also, in certain people's cases, it's very easy to just copy their strategy and just really throw them off, because honestly I do think part of the reason you had issues is because you would get so thrown off when I
like, it just makes me mad. Let me be smart, like, damn,
you were being smart, that's why I copied you,
but like, don't, damn, it's the man.
Best form of flattery,
get your own smart.
But yours was better.
But I don't have it very often, dude. Give me a break. It's fine. I was petty during Era of Kingdoms, so I'll take that.
Anyway. Yeah. any final thoughts on Castles of Burgundy?
If you like complicated games and Kingdom Builders, this will work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me is kind of curious about the other modes to see if maybe some of all those mechanics might actually be better, or like the different boards. But If you don't like Kingdom Builders, please don't play this game. Like, no. For your own sake, please yeah. don't play this game. Just because it's going to be a bad time.
Yeah. Or resource management.
Yeah. My final thought on this game is if they reprinted it with some slight modifications, I think it would be great.
Yeah. I could see that. Because I feel like this game teeters on that, like, weird, like, this game is awful, but it could also be very good if you just tweaked a couple things.
Just slight changes.
Mm-hmm.
I like it really well the way it is, just saying.
Okay, well, it's okay to be wrong sometimes. all right. And for that, I'm out, Justin Sane says. I don't know which that he's referring to, but next up is our RPG Corner segment.
This is the Role-Playing Game Corner.
So on the theme of Kingdom Builders, I thought it would be more than appropriate to talk about a particular adventure path for a game we all know and some of us even love, Pathfinder.
Is this Kingmaker?
It is Kingmaker.
I have actually played Kingmaker. That's a good system.
Well, fortunately, it's my segment, so back off.
You're wrong all the time.
Yeah. Kingmaker, a 5 full adventure paths that were released by Paizo Publishing for the Pathfinder role-playing game. Set in the River Kingdoms, Kingmaker allows players to create their own kingdom from the ground up, dealing with all the economic, military, and political responsibilities that come with being a king or queen. Key NPCs and villains designed by Ed Greenwood of Forgotten Realms fame for D&D. The adventure is 100% Pathfinder. So, I have not played these, but the reason I decided to bring it up obviously goes with our theme, but there is a computer game out now that is Pathfinder Kingmaker, which I also have not played.
You don't have to admit that part, huh?
Yes, I do, because I don't like to pretend I know things. Okay, but here's the thing, all right? Like I said earlier, I enjoy building, resource gathering, and management type games. Again, with Civilization. When I was a kid, I invented a pen and paper game where you managed an island full of dinosaurs.
Wonder where you came up with that idea.
I don't know, because most of the game was actually combat between dinosaurs and other dinosaurs.
Dinosaur Fight Club.
Kinda, but also you could upgrade your dinosaurs to have, like, laser guns and stuff.
There's going to be people on the internet thinking that you're talking about Kingmaker as dinosaur games.
No, I'm just saying that I've always had a attraction to these types of games.
Okay.
But it reminds me, too, of our Pathfinder game we played, in which the entire time, all I wanted to do was start a business. Yep. And that's what I did.
Yep.
And so Kingmaker is a Pathfinder adventure path that lets you do that. But I am slightly more interested in the computer game, which I will tell you a little bit about. So Pathfinder Kingmaker, the video game, is available on PC. It is an isometric... Are you laughing at me over there? I can hear you in the mics.
I'm sorry.
I didn't say anything.
That we're a tabletop podcast and you're talking about a video game.
Okay.
But it's related. It's related.
It is related.
It's related. That's why I didn't say anything.
Here's why it's related, okay. Is because there are a lot of people on this planet who enjoy role-playing games like Pathfinder and would want to play Pathfinder Kingmaker, but maybe aren't able to get a group of people together on a regular basis to play it.
Okay, fine.
Okay?
Fine.
And Justin Sane says he wants dinos with laser beams attached to their frickin' heads. And I like that.
I like Justin Sane's ideas.
Yeah, it's great. So it's an isometric role-playing game developed by Russian studio Owlcat Games and published by Deep Silver based on the Pathfinder franchise. It's actually kickstarted. Did very well, but the gameplay itself is all modeled after the Pathfinder role-playing game system, so if you're familiar with it, chances are you're going to understand how the game works overall. So that is just a little bit about Kingmaker. You make stuff, you build a kingdom, but it's a role-playing game, so it counts.
Fine.
All right. Mm-hmm. Our next segment, Jackie.
It's me.
Well, tell us about something.
The Kickstarter highlight.
Well, this isn't exactly Kingdom Builder related, but it is RPG related. Oh, crap.
Oh, really?
My phone died. Well, I'll tell you about it as best I can based on what I remember.
Hold on. Let me just introduce it because you're going to screw up the name.
No, I'm not. I know the name of this one.
What's the name of it?
Magical Kitties Save the Day.
Damn it.
Yes!
I was kind of hoping she'd mess that one up.
Me too.
It is published by Atlas Games.
You don't have that written down here anyway, so...
Okay, well, it is published by Atlas Games. It is currently on Kickstarter and will be until August 15th. It is a role-playing game that is very much targeted towards children. The idea of it is that it is a game that kids can jump into, but they have been trying really hard to make sure that all ages can enjoy it, so it's not just a, you know, overly cutesy, but it is really, really cutesy. And the idea is that you are a magical kitty, and you have to protect your human from problems. Problems, with a capital P, is literally like anything that could happen in your human's day-to-day life, such as dealing with bullies at school,
Or maybe there's a witch that lives out in the forest behind someone's house. Like, it's pretty open-ended on what it could be. But it's a very basic system. I think there are three or four that you roll as. And your attributes are actually the number of dice that you get to roll when you are told to roll that thing. You don't really get modifiers as much, but you do have one talent dice. And if the attribute you are rolling or the thing you are trying to do corresponds with your talent, you get to roll that extra die. They're all D6s, so it gives you that lovely feeling of rolling a whole bunch of D6s at once, which is always nice.
Yes.
For picking your attributes, I think you literally have 6 dice that you get to assign, and out of those 6, you separate it between the 3, so mm-hmm. you just kind of decide. It looks like a ton of fun. It's so adorable. There are actually cards in it that give you ideas of different abilities that your kittens could have. And then there's some suggested, I think it's going to come out with a starter set that has suggested, like, starter games. This was actually created by a woman who wanted to play RPGs with her kids, but found that D&D was a little bit too violent-oriented, and she wanted something that could be a little bit more collaborative and problem solving versus we're just gonna hit this thing. Although there's definitely a setup for combat. That was one thing I did try to look into, because that was my biggest complaint about Overlight, was that the combat system is kind of not great on that one, and convoluted because it's not great. It looks very simple for magical kitties save the day. Very much just roll your dice. Did it beat? And I think it's a case by case. So it's like, did your dice beat the amount of dice that the bad guy rolled? You win! Or you've done damage, whatever it is. Definitely looks like one to look into. Great for families. Not really a kingdom builder, but maybe you could start your own pod of kitties. Do you have herds of kitties?
Have you ever tried to herd cats?
sounds like a bad time.
It does. So play with your cats. Support Magical Kitties Save the Day on Kickstarter from Atlas Games. I believe the base set is $45.
Woo!
Yep, that's pretty steep.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, there's a $15 thing that you can start at for just the PDFs.
Okay, that's... Okay, so yeah, that makes more sense. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, the $45 is like an actual like starter box. So it gives you, like,
okay, that makes more sense now.
Yeah, so you get an adventure, you get the rule book, and then you get like those cards that are kind of like ability cards.
Yeah, next time lead with that.
Sorry. It's $15 if you just want the PDF and to try out the system.
Okay, that makes sense. Gives me anime vibes.
And I think they actually also give you dice. But
oh, nice. That's kind of cool.
I like
that's
dice.
Nice.
Are they does the system use D6s, or does it use a proprietary dice system?
D6s.
Thank God. Okay. Yep.
What?
I hate games that use proprietary dice systems.
What do you mean
specialized dice?
Proprietary.
I know there's.
What do you mean hereditary dice?
I feel like there's at least a couple RPG systems that require specific dice to play the game.
Oh.
Which. Not okay. Here for.
I know
is Genesis
what you mean.
One of them? I feel like Genesis is one.
I don't know if I know.
I've never heard of
I guess
of that.
That's a system.
But yeah. I know the new Legend of the Five Rings, I believe.
Oh, yeah. That's
Has a new dice system. Accurate. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anything else on Magical Kitties Save the Day?
Nope. That is it for Magical Kitties Save the Day.
Well, that does it for this episode of Meeple Skills. I think we had some extra stuff we were thinking about talking about, but we spent a little extra time on bashing on, what was it, Castles of Burgundy?
Yeah, we did.
So,
that poor game.
I think we've used up all of that time.
Damn.
But it was a pleasure having everybody in chat, hanging out, talking to us. Buddy General Pillage telling us what we were getting wrong about Castles of Burgundy. I'm just kidding. all that fun
basically
stuff.
Basically his job.
You can find the podcast all over the internets on Twitter, Jackie.
@ MeepleSkillsPod.
That's good job. All right. On Instagram.
MeepleSkills.
at Meeple Skills. That's right. That's right. On Facebook? No, we don't.
We're
have
not on Facebook. Yeah, we don't. I wasn't gonna mess with that.
We're not wasting our time on that.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, I guess if you want to email us, Jackie sometimes decides to check that.
I've been doing better. I've gotten better.
I think it's Meeple Skills Podcast.
Yeah.
At gmail.com. Don't email us. Hit us up on Twitter. Like a normal friggin' person. Alyssa, where can people find you on the internet?
Best place is Minty Fresh Gaming on Instagram. And then on Twitch, it is Minty Fresh Love. TwitchTV.MintyFreshLove.
Twitch.tv/
There you go. That
Minty
one.
Minty Fresh
Love. We're playing Sekiro.
Ooh, fuck.
Exactly. It's been a struggle.
Jackie, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Lucky Halfling.
Yes.
It's your own Twitter, Jackie.
I know.
She's bad at this.
I really am. Is that... at the socials.
I'm going to get you a notebook. It's fine.
And really, that's it. I don't really do much. I have a Twitch. I don't really use it.
Yeah.
I use this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair.
And then you can find me all over the goddamn internet. You can follow me on Twitter at NerdMeat. You can follow me on Instagram at NerdMeat. You can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/NerdMeat_. Is that it? For the most part. You can check out all of the cool shit we do over on project-nerd.com. Host to many other great podcasts, streams, video content, articles, reviews, all that cool shit. Make sure to check out Project Nerd's Patreon and give us your money so we can afford to improve the quality of podcasts just like this one and the many others that they have to offer. We will be live in September.
Mm-hmm. Second Thursday of every month, 8 p.m.
Central time.
Central time, yes. We're in Central.
Yeah, you do have to expand beyond articles. Get on that, Justin, saying. It's a clever name. But again, thank you all for showing up. Thank you all for hanging out. And have a wonderful rest of your evening. And we will talk to you in about a month.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.